listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Watching haters wonder why Gambino got the game locked. Half Todd thicky, all she wanna do is Bangkok. Got her hair done, French braids, now she ASAP. Bino so insensitive, she asking why you say that. I'm chilling, real nigga feeling. Rich kid asshole, pay me as a villain. Still spitting that cash flow, DJ Khaled. Got a penthouse on both coasts, PH balance. Real nigga, I rep those. Why though? Cause I said so. Hip deep in that Pepto, I got five on it like Ben Folds. I got more tail than Petco, you faker than some sweet and low. Yeah, you got some silver web, but really, are you eating though?
Hey. Are you eating though, nigga? Are you eating though?
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner's for beginners. I ain't even know.
It's my jam.
Hey,
Don't be mad,
cause I'm
that's the lyrics up. I'm sorry, y'all.
It's all right, baby. It's late in the night.
I know, I'm tired, y'all.
We have been
I'm
up
sorry.
Since the break of dawn. We filmed a TV
okay,
show.
Okay, don't be mad, cause I'm better.
Don't be mad because I'm getting something better than you getting you. Because I'm doing me better than you doing you.
Okay, no, see, you messed up too. Okay,
you messed me up. I was fine. Don't be mad because I'm doing me better than you doing you.
Thank you. That's what there I meant to say, y'all. I'm tired.
Fuck it, we drive. At any rate, man, it is a Saturday late in the night. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the late night edition.
This is your quiet storm. Right. You might be in your office Monday morning, but just know you listen to the quiet storm at 8 a.m.
Right, yeah. This joint is brought to you by Devontae, JoJo, yes.
Casey,
El
DeBarge.
Right, El DeBarge, no, Silk, Sha, El DeBarge, no. Who's Johnny? She said. That's not the same thing. No, it's not the same thing
at
all.
Some Sade.
Yeah, this is brought to you by
Luther Vandross.
This is brought to you by all the saxophone solos.
Ah, yes!
You know, all the sexy guitar riffs in the middle of just for no reason.
Yeah, this is brought to you by tape players.
Yeah. Brought to you by Tracy Spencer's Tender Kisses.
Yes!
Mm-hmm.
This is brought to you by Dionne Warwick.
Yeah, Dionne Warwick is, of course, in the building, looking out. Mm-hmm.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Welcome all the ladies. Call in for your dedications right now to the one you love. That's how this goes.
Don't touch that dial. It's got sex on it.
Yes!
I'm so confused, and I think I'm gonna cry tonight. What must I do, baby?
This one is dedicated out to Shaquisha. Shaquana, Lakeisha,
and Jerome.
Yes!
All from the same person.
Yes!
Lester says hi.
Yes, he does. From jail.
That's right, man. Quiet Storm Edition. This is like 10 o'clock at night on Saturday, y'all.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, we appreciate everybody taking the time out to listen to stuff. Of course, this is the Blackout Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips. We'll come up. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do things such as leave comments on the blackouttips.com, mm-hmm. Vote in the polls, leave 5-star reviews. What else do y'all do? I mean, y'all do so much. Y'all leave voicemails throughout the week. Y'all donate to the show. I mean, shit, y'all are premium. I mean, we just went over 501 episodes of premium content.
Ooh, how many hours do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't even want to do the calculations, to be quite honest.
It's
but
a lot. So
there are shows that the main show don't have 500 episodes. We have
yes!
501 premium shows, whether it's Balls Deep, whether it's the movie reviews. So many things, man.
And we couldn't do it without you guys.
So thankful to all y'all that
everybody
make that possible.
That gives or donate. Even if you ain't premium, you gave, you donate, you spread the word, you told your friend, you told your family. You know, you might not be able to put in on it, quote unquote, with your dollars, but you put in on it with your time and your word of mouth, and that matters.
Exactly. Now let's get into the people that donated.
Shout out to the people that donated.
Shot.
Yeah, so this Quiet Storm edition.
Coming right back at you, baby.
We got a visiting quad today, y'all.
Give it up for the light skin choir, y'all.
Them light skin boys.
Naisha W hit us with the one time donation. Thank you, Naisha girl.
We like your $60.
This
girl.
Goes out to you.
To you.
Tyvon S hit us with that recurring donation. This for you too, brother.
We see you, player.
Joy M, recurring donator. Shantae B, recurring donator.
You sure he's not related to John B?
Shantae B might be. Damian Jackson, whoo, I am for real. Autumn W, recurring donator. My brother, recurring donator. What up, little bro?
Hey, just dedicated to you too.
Mm-hmm. With your sexy ass. Catherine B, recurring donator.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Alfonso M, recurring donator.
Alfonso sound like he ought to be the DJ of this hour.
My man, Marcus C hit us with the one-time donation. Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus. We see you out there, brother.
Mm-hmm. Get your sexy on. Jane M, with her voluptuous self.
Mm-hmm. All the boys looking at you.
Shirley Wong, Esquire.
I'm sorry, all the boys or the ladies.
Or the ladies. We don't know what you're
into. Yeah, I wanted to be sure I cover all the bases.
Shirley Wong, Esquire. Dana W. Rosalie V, all these sexy ladies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We see y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Adam S, recurring donator. Josh W, recurring donator. That's Wonga.
All the way in Australia, being sexy out there, mate.
Wearing your gray sweatpants tonight.
Yes.
Tanya S, recurring donator. Alexis H, recurring donator.
Yeah.
And that's everybody.
Yeah, we want to thank everybody for listening so they can record their names tonight.
Mm-hmm. Play me out.
I just wanna be the one to serve you. Sometimes I feel as if I don't deserve you. I cherish every moment that we share. And if I ever fall
in love again,
I will be sure.
This is the song everybody sang that couldn't sing back when I was coming up.
Oh yeah,
this at a talent show, had a sleepover at Celebrate Station, and it was terrible. I don't know how those girls must have just liked us doing it because we were not good at it.
Oh yeah, I'm never good at it. This is the song you sing in the shower because for some reason the acoustics in the shower are mwah.
Mm-hmm. We did get some 5-star reviews, young. Mm-hmm. Shout out to 5-star to DC. Listener for life, Amber NJ. Says, I'm new to podcasts and TBGWT was one of the first I came across. I immediately became hooked and look forward to listening each and every week. A college student, as a college student, I can say TBGWT. Oh wait, why did I just skip one? Hold on.
So we go.
Oh wait, we read that one last week. Oh, my bad. Did? All right. So here we go. This is it. SFC Bryant B says, the Blackout Tips is on point. As a soldier stationed in Korea right now, you two have got me through so many days where I was bored or uninformed uniform. That's me reading the military part. uninformed of what was going on at home. I'm a premium subscriber, and with the amount of quality content that you all provide, from Balls Deep to the Nerd Off, I see great things coming for you too. Love the podcast. By the way, you all should have more drinking game episodes with Justin and guests. That would be fire. Hey man, I appreciate you saying that, man. It's just that we got this thing called livers,
and they get on tape so much,
right? We try to keep them healthy. Some of them shows get pretty reckless, and you know, you log on to Twitter the next day and you just had that moment where you like, oh shit, we did say that. So I don't know that we will be getting drunk with Justin a lot on the show, but
yeah, because like I said, my weight is heavier than Justin.
Yeah, I don't what, your weight? He can't handle his liquor.
Justin weighs more than me. That's what I meant when I said weight.
He's a lightweight. Best premium podcast ever, Lovely Libra 2010.
Hey baby,
we met her. The regular show is good, but the real gems are behind the paywall. That's right. That's where we talk our shit, because y'all got to pay to hear.
Yes, sir.
You want to know what we really think about the Facebook room? You want to know what we really think about the Facebook room?
You You gotta go premium. You gotta pay for it.
If you can afford to go premium, it's totally worth it. The pregame is hilarious and Justin is funny. I also enjoy the Nerd Off and Balls Deep Sports. I look forward to football season. Me too. Especially now that I don't have no white friends for fantasy football. I gotta get some more fantasy football in my life. Might have to do more groups for the Blackout Tips Nation. I don't know.
I know. A few more people just fist bumps because they was like, well, damn it.
Right. Presidential Fade, Running 76 says, hello, Rod and Karen. I really enjoy episode 1241, Presidential Clippers. Your guests, Ray and Alex, were stupendous. Special shout out to Karen as a Blackout Tips listener investigation team member. I discovered Bevel is involved with the president. BevelCode.com. That's right. Everyone sent me the link. Bevel. Listen, you want to talk about synergy, okay? I didn't know that.
Me either.
But see, great minds think alike. And Tristan Walker is a great mind such as ourselves. Of course he was already on the presidential fade. Of course. Thanks again for unpacking a difficult time in our lives by explaining all facets of Black lives and how it ties into Black Lives Matter, Black BLM. You guys are wonderful, humorously running 76. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
You know, we try. We try for sure. This is a weird week because I feel like I don't know how funny the show was. I feel like we were trying to be funny, but we weren't. We were also not scared to talk about some very serious things this week, which is where the show should reside, in my opinion. Yeah, we'll make some gallows humor jokes. No, it might not be comfortable to make to make it through every episode, but we're also not going to be scared to talk about some serious shit. So. I'm glad people enjoyed this week. Hashtag Team Lightskin in Arizona by add this code 8YDETW. Okay. I have been listening to this podcast and enjoying every minute of it for 2 years now. The hosts Rod and Karen are nothing less than awesome. Living in a state like Arizona where there is a grand total of 12 Black people, this podcast helps to supplement. Well, you know, Baker's dozen. They get one more Black person down there, that'd be good. This podcast has to supplement my melanated interaction deficiency. I use this podcast as well as the Facebook group to reach out and socialize with other like-minded intelligent individuals. When I'm not in school pursuing this engineering degree at ASU, I drive for Uber and Lyft. Gauging from the first moment of the passenger in my vehicle, I can tell if they're ready for that sism, that is. You ambushing people with the podcast.
What the hell is this?
How many people are just like, I don't feel safe in this cab no more. They are talking about that sizzle.
Should I tell them? Let me out next corner.
I put as many people as I possibly can onto the Blackout Tips. Love y'all a million. Melvin H. P.S. I would challenge the listeners to put together a special fund to send our gracious host on a well-deserved vacation. Although I cannot afford to right now. Just jokes. I got a hot tub on it. $20.
They could buy a drink.
Man, I promise we going on vacation soon. Like, no joke.
A lot of people have been, literally Dexter told us today y'all need to go on vacation.
Yeah, he was like, y'all should dedicate at least a day of no work. I can't even get a day off, really, because there's always some shit popping. But you know what? I love my life right now, and yes, this sir. Is all right. This, you know, it's a lot of times.
I don't mind working.
I don't put in a lot of clock hours for somebody that I didn't fuck with. So, right.
Making money for somebody else.
Working for y'all the best bosses we done ever had. So, you know, I ain't even mad, mm-mm. You know. So, all right. We had comments on the website, theblackouttest.com. You can go there. You also go to tbgwt.com if you can't remember all that. And we had episode 1240, which is a feedback episode, thoughts, ? We had no actual comments on this or the poll, but the poll was simple. Thoughts. Yes, I have some, or no thanks. To the question, 70% of people answered, yes, I have some thoughts.
I do too.
And 30% of y'all said, no, you have no thoughts. So we appreciate y'all taking the time out to answer the poll.
We do.
You know, now I'm surprised that the 70% of people that did have thoughts didn't put anything in the comments, but okay, that's fine. We also had episode 1241, the Presidential Clippers. We had Ray Sonny and Alex English of Loudmouth Comedy, the show, mm-hmm. To.
So special it was in the paper the next day.
Right. People wrote about us. We were mentioned on this podcast, Pop Rocket, which is, you know, a really popular podcast. by one of the writers of the Mindy show. So that was cool.
Cool.
Yeah, man. He ended up following me on Twitter and everything. So
thank
dope. You know, you just, I will say this, it was nice to be mentioned. I hope people don't just come for just the days after black people die. I hope people come through for just regular shit too, because we talk about a lot of regular shit. We might, you know, might shock your mind a little bit. We might maybe open you up to some things, but in general, you know, we just try to have fun, you know.
We do.
And of course, you know, we stand for Ray and Alex, so it was just awesome to finally get them on at the same time.
I know, right? You know?
Black Octagon says, listening to this episode was like listening to a super group. Could y'all put out an album?
I don't know if the world is ready for that.
All right. Flow Girl says, listen, love this episode. Ray and Alex, thoroughly enjoyed them, were great guests. Please have them back again sometime. Stay woke and stay funny. Smiley face.
We will. We love them.
Yeah, man. Anytime. You ain't got the answer says, one of the things I love the most about this show is how y'all can respectfully disagree with guests and still be funny. I totally agree that what Trevor Noah said was done to cover all bases. Of course, we don't want to have to give a disclaimer about cops not being all bad and that we do not support the killing of officers in Dallas, but the reality is that it must be done so there's no confusion about our message. Sadly, in our society, we have to remind people of that. Like you said, right? It's expedient. Sure, it's an inconvenience, but I understand being careful about framing your point. Words mean things. I know, man. It sucks. It really does suck. Because honestly, what happens when you don't say it is people come in and try to distract from what your message is.
Right.
And that's why you end up with stuff like, honestly, and it's, I 100% understand. This is not a diss. This, no one could have predicted this. This is not shade of any kind. But real talk, one of the worst things that happened to the current crop of black protests is that it was called Black Lives Matter. And that's not to say it as pejorative or negative, but it's so easily detracted from, like, with the
right,
like people so easily hop on the
dismiss it.
So you trying to say that white lives don't matter? Oh, so you trying to say only black lives matter? Oh, so you trying to say, and so you spend so much time on semantics. That's what they want, because they don't want to confront the very real issue that you're saying, which is that our black lives matter too, that our black matter lives are worth something. And so you end up with these fucking discussions where they feel, they smile to themselves every time they can say, but all lives matter to me. And especially every time when your dumbass friends hops on your Facebook page and says it, it's like they're winning. And so it's framing a message, unfortunately, will always have to be done through, well, what the white people gonna do when we say this, which is so fucked up. And as much as we fight that revolutionarily and all this shit, we still always get drawn back to the same point where we gotta explain just the basis of what the fucking phrase means, which is so, it'll drive you crazy, man.
Yep, that's why some people are like, fuck it, Black Lives Matter, and they just keep it trucking, because I'm not here to educate you.
Exactly, right. So, you know, and the thing is, they don't want to understand. So,
right.
They're going to obfuscate anything they can. So, it is what it is. But the point being, some things are more easily done than others. So, if Trevor Noah doesn't say, look, I'm pro police. I need y'all to understand that. I don't have any problem with the police doing a good job. Now, this shit is different. You know what I'm saying? It's sad that you have to capitulate to that, but you have to. Y'all are awesome. I really want to thank you for supporting the cause, talking about it, and making sure you have responsible conversations. This is vital in this movement. Those of us on the front lines and those of us trying to make a change need more podcasts like you guys. We need, appreciate, and love you guys for tackling tough conversations through a black lens. Thank you. And AO replied to her and said, you ain't got the answer. I agree with you ain't got the answer. Well said. I don't know, man. This is what we're interested in. We always just kind of talk about whatever the news of the day is, whatever is making us think and making us want to talk, and, you know, our livelihood, our ability to get home when we leave the house is very important to us, you know. And that's what I feel like a lot of black protesters are out here putting their lives on the line for. And I won't lie, man, it's listening to some podcasts and some people's commentary on Twitter and stuff, it's very discouraging, man. You know, there's a lot of second guessing. There's a lot of people saying, acting like sitting at home and telling all these people what to do is better. You know, there's a lot of people trying to discredit folks, and it's really some sad shit, man. It, like, in the age of social media, people are just proving you can hate anything. You can make
anything.
Yeah, you can make anything personal and petty. It doesn't matter what it is. Christic says, this is like the tiniest of points on this episode, and this episode was great, but when Rod says something about how women just need to decide what they want to eat, this is something I want to clear up for people that think this.
Ain't no hand clap emojis in that.
Right? You never know what people, what's going to trigger somebody. That was like, I said that ironically. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I was like, we all agree that this is silly, right? Anyway, you know why many women don't know what to, where to eat? Oh, they know exactly what they want to eat. But if a woman tries to give a man an opinion, they are so often told this their opinion is wrong that it becomes not worth it to have an opinion anymore. If I had an opinion on what I want to eat and I let it be known, nothing but me not getting the food I just want, said I wanted can come of it. It might be, are you sure you don't just want pizza when I just said I wanted Thai food? It might be, oh, but I wanted Chipotle, so let's just go there. Or maybe it will be a debate for an hour until I'm so hungry that we'll just eat whatever's in the fridge. Nope, not worth it.
Not worth the debate.
Hey man, every relationship is different, you know, but I always thought not knowing what to eat wasn't, I always thought it wasn't really a gender thing. Like, we both do that all the time.
Yeah, and you know, and
I never really, like, it was a joke, but that's like, also women take longer to get ready. Well, also I don't have to put on makeup, I don't have to, like, I'm not, my presentation as a man is so much simpler, right? You know, like, just the beauty standards and all that stuff is different.
And also what I realized too is that sometimes for some people it's a personality trait. Like, for some people, it's like, I forgot how it is on that fucking test they give you. But, like, I don't know what I, may not know what I want to eat, but I always know what I don't want to eat. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just never thought it was, I thought that's what all couples do, is argue about what we gonna eat tonight and shit. I didn't think, like, it really never passed my mind that it would be taken as more than a joke. But you never know what triggers people. Like, that night some dude probably just told her, like, but I don't want pizza, you know what I mean? And she was like, you know what, let me fire off this hot fire straight up the rod and right, let him know,
right?
This is a societal endemic problem, okay?
Right. And she looked like, well, I told you, I finally decided what I want to eat and you ignore me.
The oppression of women has started ever since the 1800s, when the first pilgrim asked a woman, what is for dinner tonight? And she said, stew. And he said, really? Because I want pizza. And that's when I knew. But no, we appreciate you writing in.
We do,
and,
baby.
Yeah, I'll make sure to be more mindful of my stereotypical jokes. Please let us know what you think about women be shopping, okay? Because
I do be shopping now.
Women do be shopping, but I don't know. Is that like because of, through the historical lens of consumerism and the oppression that women have always experienced, and even though they never really receive a full 100% to 100% of what a man earns, they have received the reputation of being shopping. Okay, which is to be within a state of a verb of to shop. So please break that down. We appreciate that.
We do.
Learn us. Eve says, I love Serena. That is all. You know what, Eve? I can get behind that. AJ the engineer says, Ray is easily one of my favorite people. I'm always happy to hear that she's doing well. For the past few months, I've been hoping her and Alex would make an appearance on the show, and damn, was it good. I know it's just a small thing and most white folks won't understand, but knowing the White House bathroom has a drawer containing a wave cap and a bonnet has been one of the greatest things about the Obama presidency. That segment on the show was hilarious. Yeah, we just stumbled into that one.
Yep.
On the more serious shit, I've made it a point to not start any post on my Facebook saying how the officers in Dallas shouldn't have been killed. Anybody who follows me and knows how I feel about Black Lives Matter and police brutality should already know that I hate that those attacks happen. Fuck anybody still thinking that being against police brutality means you hate police. You mentioned it on the show later this week, but any person saying all lives matter or we just need love are actively avoiding the true meaning of Black Lives Matter and choosing to stay ignorant. I ain't got time for that. The past 2 weeks, I've watched my black friends trying to have civil conversations about Black Lives Matter and their take on police brutality. I then see their white friends bust up with the black on black crime and trying to tell black people how they should be responding to these police in these police interactions. I know I'm mixing shows, but I'm very happy you made that post saying black people don't have to educate the ignorant or take some time for ourselves.
Right.
Lastly, y'all see how quiet the NRA has been about this Philando murder? Interesting how the man has all the required permits necessary to carry a weapon and still ends up dead, yet there's been nothing to discuss. Fuck them forever. He even took the classes. Like, he took police interaction classes. Like, that dude should not be dead. Y'all in the chat room, have a great weekend. Thank you so much, AJ.
Thank you.
And the poll was simple. Do you prefer when, simple, nothing's ever simple. Do you prefer that white celebs speak out on racial injustice? Yes, we need their voices as well. Or no, it's none of their business. And it's because people do have mixed feelings around this. You know, on the one hand, people, like, I've seen it every way you can think of, I've seen it. I've seen the white celebrities that don't get involved in black culture and they never speak up on stuff and people resent them for that. I've seen white people who do get involved in black culture and they never speak up on stuff and people resent them for that. I've seen white people who do get involved in black culture and they speak out on certain issues in blackness and people resent them for that. I've seen white celebrities that don't really get too involved in black culture and speak out on black issues, and I've seen people resent them for that. Like, there's so much animosity and anger at this point in the United States and the evolving race, and everyone has their factions and their camps. I don't know that anyone can step into this realm without catching some flack for it.
Yeah, because it's sad, but for a lot of white people, it's almost a lose-lose. You know, you want to do the right thing and you want to help, but there's no book, there's no general, there's no instructions on the things that you're going to experience from the particular group. And it's one of those things where you have to consider the context of history. It's like, for black people, all y'all look alike. Just like y'all claim all us look alike, all y'all look alike, because we can't decipher the difference between a good white person and a bad white person. And when you step in these groups, it's almost like you have to form trust. And everybody comes in going, I don't trust you until you prove yourself otherwise. Because too many white people have stepped into the realm, and the second they get any animosity, the second they get an attitude, they're out. It's almost like, for some white people, they come in, want pats on the back, want you just to be grateful that they took the time out to be concerned about your black ass and shit like that. Like, black people have went through a whole lot with white people when it comes to these type of things. So it's one of those things where, I know I personally don't mind you being here. I don't mind you learning and you being understanding. And it's very difficult because it's a learning curve for everybody. Because you do have some black people that was like, fuck all white folks. I'm not like that. But there are people out there that go, nah, I've been through too much. I've seen through too much. And I just don't want to deal with it, period. Like, just like y'all go fuck us, but fuck you too. And that's very, very unrealistic. Because the thing about movements, no movements can be done without the help of everybody across the board. And on top of that, people outside of the oppressed group that are not directly oppressed have to speak up. And it's also one of those things too, for a lot of white people, when they step into these realms, it's not about you. And that's very, very difficult when society has always taught you that it is about you. Because the thing is, a lot of times, a lot of white people have to unlearn the things that they've been taught directly and indirectly. And those are very, very hard chains to break in this country, and you have to look outside of what you normally see every day. You have to learn how to phrase your words and what to say and what not to say and how not to make people upset. And you don't know these things going in, so you also need the time and opportunity to grow. And I think sometimes, in my opinion, black people don't allow white people the room for error, because errors are going to be made, but you have to allow them the room for error out of their lack of knowledge, their ignorance, them not understanding. And somebody has to be like, hey, dog, that's not always cool. And here's why. And when they say that, white people have got to understand that you have to be open-minded enough to know that it's not about your ego. You know, it's not about you. And that's very, very difficult. And also, it's one of those things, too, where a lot of white people step in these movies and they want to take over. They want to be the voices. They want to be the forefront. They want to be the faces. And the thing is that, and I'm not trying to funny, you have to earn those spots. And the thing is, sometimes those are spots that you will never earn. And nobody can speak clearer or can speak more in detail about a black person's life other than a black person, period. Even though you might be educated, even though you might can speak the truth, even though you might can go educate your family and friends, at the end of the day, you're not black. And that's something that you've got to understand, too. So just because you have understanding, just because you can walk in these circles, not one day in your life will you ever understand what it feels to be black. And that's something that you've got to understand, too. And also, it's one of the things where you can be in these circles and be allies to these circles and not try to appropriate these circles, which is, you know, people have a problem with that too. Just be
but
here
what is
a,
what
love.
Is appropriate though what is
and,
appropriate?
And that's the thing, everybody has their own definition and ways of what appropriation is. Some people is a just be yourself. Some people is a don't come here talking black. Some people a don't come here using slang. And a lot of that comes back to we all people come from different backgrounds. All people have had different interactions with white people. So to me, something that might be cool for one person might not be cool for another, for somebody else. So it's one of those things where it's almost like it's like you have to constantly shift. You have to constantly change. You have to constantly evolve. You have to constantly adapt and adjust, which is very, very hard. And it's one of those things where for a lot of white people, they're not willing to do that. They'll just say, fuck it, and walk away because they don't want to actually deal with the reality that I want to help, but my helping is more than just my dollars. My helping is, you know, sometimes more than just my vote. My helping is actually understanding and having empathy and having sympathy and understanding that brown people are people.
Well, I'll just say this. All that is, I understand all that. I just think the real truth of the matter is there's a divide that, warranted or unwarranted, there's a lot of animosity from black people that this country has put into us via our treatment here,
right?
And some of it will never be bridged
ever.
It doesn't matter how well-meaning or good a white person is, when you speak on our shit, you step into this realm, you are going to catch some shit from some black people.
Yes, you are.
You know, it's like, And I relate to this on some levels, because, you know, when I talk about things, like when I talk about feminism, when I talk about, you know, when I talk about LGBTQ issues, there are some people that I'm sure are like, this nigga ain't gay, or this nigga ain't LGBTQ, fuck he know about that, or, you know, who cares about your opinion, you know. I know there's one dude that, you know, has completely spread lies about me on Twitter, who's gay. So, like, there's going to be some people that are just like, I don't fuck with you,
right?
No matter who you are. You really just have to hope that the majority of people can see the work you do, know your heart, see your words, and understand. And then some people are never going to fuck with you, and it wouldn't have mattered how it happened. You see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Life and every interactions have broken the trust so much that they'll never come around. That's why you see some people angry at Macklemore. I remember one time I tweeted, like, wait, why are people even mad at Macklemore's White Privilege song? It's just not for black people. It's 9 minutes long. It's probably educational for white people who don't think about this shit. But for everybody else, we're like, I already knew it. No need to listen. And there were people mad at him. Like, and well, why is he in our culture then? I'm like, but if he respects the culture and spreads the word,
right,
and uses it as a medium to enrich and educate these kids, what's wrong with that? Well, he need to center black voices in it. Well, he has black people on the song that also spread the message. Like, he didn't have to do any of this shit. He could have just kept putting out music and been like, fuck y'all, I'm in this culture and I'm making money. it's just, I don't think the animosity and whatnot will ever go away. And that's the cost of taking on these issues. And that's before you get into the cost of just white people that don't want to hear this shit.
Right.
You know, your white fan base that is like, man, fuck Macklemore and fuck Justin Timberlake and fuck so-and-so for even attempting to talk about this shit. So it is kind of a lose-lose, as you said from the beginning, but
right,
you can do everything that you said when you initially talked about it, and people will still, there'll still be some people that don't want you talking about it.
Correct.
You know, it's there's never going to be a happy balance. Cause if you don't talk about it, there's going to be people like, why you ain't using your platform to talk about it? If you do talk about it, well, why are you talking about it? Why aren't you just retweeting other people talking about it? Okay. So you retweet what other people say, and then they're like, how come you just retweet what people say and you don't say shit yourself? We don't even know how you really feel about it. You're just putting these other people up. Like, we're supposed to just read their shit instead. You know, like, it is important to me, and it's one of the reasons that I don't try to like sublet out our opinion on this show.
Mm-mm.
Like I don't try to bring in a quote-unquote expert when we talk about some of this shit, because it's like, no, this is my opinion. It's important to me that people know that you don't have to be LGBTQ to be like, yo, I empathize with that community, and I know when injustice is being done to people.
Correct.
I empathize with women. I know when injustice is being done to women. You know, I am a black person. I know when injustice is being done to black people. Like, you don't have to be part of these groups to have a passionate heart. But, you know, at any rate, I think I prefer that white celebs speak out when they see things. I prefer that they use their voices, but that's my preference. Not everybody's on that. 93% of the people were on it, though. They said, yes, we need their voices as well. 7% said, no, it's none of their business. You Ain't Got the Answer says, this is such an interesting poll because many of us who are part of the movement are divided. Personally, I think everyone should speak out. We live in two different Americas, despite what people think. But for me, silence means you support what's going on, period. There isn't a gray area with things like this. People do not understand that being silent when you see injustice makes you just as complicit as the person delivering the injustice. Sure, famous people say dumb shit all the time. But if they didn't say anything, those same people telling them to shut up would be saying they can steal our culture but can't speak up. It's ridiculous. Everybody needs to speak up. Everybody. What do you think about that?
For me, like I say, I'm more on that boat.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of people are like, no. It's almost like, and to me that boils back to just like, and I will forever feel like this, just like you have white people that are racist, you have black people that hate white people. So in their minds, anything they do is just wrong. And I'm not of that group. I'm not going to criticize you for taking the effort to speak up, because the way our society is designed, you can opt to ignore it if you want to. For the fact that you don't, to me, that means something. I know for a lot of people, they go, well, it actually means something. But once you acknowledge it and speak out, you need to continue to do it regardless of the response to you doing it, because that's the thing. A lot of people act like it's very easy and simple. It's not easy when you come out and you speak out and people are constantly belligerent at you. They're constantly telling you how you're doing it wrong, what you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it the way I want it. You're not doing it the way I like it. And it's just constantly boom, 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 boom. So for a lot of people, they're like, why should I even care? Because I'm trying to care and I'm constantly getting bashed and beat upside the head by everything that I do and everything that I say. But the thing is, for black people, it's reverse. When we walk into these other circles, we get this same response and reaction. I'm not trying to say it's fair, right, anything like that, but we get this same reaction where we come out and we try to speak out and we constantly are told how we're never enough and how everything that happened to us is our fault.
Yeah, I just think it takes a lot of, it takes a lot of trust that isn't developed yet.
Right.
And honestly, I just think I wish people would be a little more honest. It's never going to happen for some of this. Like, some people are never going to trust you no matter what, because you're in your circle. You can always use your privilege to exit. And
right.
Also, it's a learning process. Every time you say something wrong, people are going to assume the worst. It's a lot. It's a high wire act. I get why people don't want to do it.
Correct.
You know? But I love that people do. And that's not to give anyone an extra bump of like, well, you didn't have to and you did, on some like, I take that back. No, I absolutely do give you an extra bump because you didn't have to when you did. I don't give you a bump over black people. I don't give you, because no one has to when they do. Like, but yes, everybody period gets a bump for speaking up, because there's a lot of people that don't have to speak up and they do, you know. Nobody has to. There's so many black people. Look at Charles Barkley. They'll just coast by on that racism that people have and just ride that wave. There's like, you can be black and opt out of this. You make enough money,
right?
Like, you can, like, a lot of people opt out of talking about equality because of this. So Dre3Dub says, I think they should speak up due to the fact that it does seem like, seem that who delivers the message, it does seem that who delivers the message is more important than the message. Right. Why does the victim need to be perfect and the protester need to identify more than saying something or isn't right? I know that is a simple way to encapsulate the problems, but I believe if society says a person has been deemed as someone who is worth listening to, society does, and society worships celebrities. Mark says white people should speak out, but they need to be more sincere and confident in what they're saying, because there should be pushback. There could be pushback. If they're going to fold like a cheap suit at the first negative comment, then they do no one any good. I agree. That was really, like I said, I didn't even mind Justin Timberlake's original comment, but that "Oh, you sweet soul" thing is where he fucked up, because I was like, yeah, dog, someone criticized you, you need to internalize that and think about that. You know, some niggas are gonna defend you just out of some straight up, like, he trying, y'all. But a lot of black people are like, yeah, what about that? And just going, well, we're all the same, aren't we? That's too many people have heard that colorblind bullshit to know that it's, you know, you can retreat away from it the way you ran away from Janet Jackson.
That's true. And I think for a lot of people, when it comes to this, a lot of black people get tired of when white people fuck up, you have black people that swoop in and try to quote unquote save them, yes, versus letting them deal with the reality of what they said. Because honestly, the only way you're gonna learn, you have to face the reality of the repercussions of what you say. Because a lot of times when you've always been in a safe space and you can say these things, you never challenge, and nobody ever tell you that certain phrases are wrong and certain stereotypes are wrong and how you view things are not right. And somebody like, hey, dog, you wrong. And because a lot of times initially, in general, people don't like to be told they're wrong. People get in their feelings, they get defensive, they want to bark back, and they don't want to listen. And sometimes you have to let that discussion be had. And there's nothing wrong with that discussion, because that's how everybody learns. And you always have some super Negro that wants to come in but, hey, don't do this to this white person, and that causes conflict too. But like, hey, nigga, I'm here trying to help, and you're disrupting the learning process.
Well, people pick and choose with that stuff all the time, so you know what I mean. What are you gonna do,
right?
Like, people come, like, they don't defend Iggy, but they'll defend Justin. You know, you still picked which one you're defending,
right?
You know, based on how much you like their music or whatever you feel about them. Personally, I try to stay out of that shit. But yeah, if they're gonna fold like a cheap suit, as this person said, then what, they didn't do anybody any good.
No, they didn't.
It would probably help if they had some goodwill. For example, have they been around people of different races before? Are they known to frequent activities where people of different races might be? Is the community in question familiar enough with them? Are there people of the race in question that could, if it came to a vouch for them in a way that would be accepted versus a nice but insincere act to save someone from figuratively drowning? The first few occasions of speaking up should probably be in audio or video form so that people don't misinterpret the tone of what the celebrity is saying. I would recommend a talk show or podcast format with people who has credibility and might guide them through the bumpy patches in what they are saying. Once the training wheels come off, the celeb should be good to go solo commenting, knowing that at least some people will have his or her back. Yeah, I think a lot of times too, what happens is people don't pay attention to social media, because social media is really a free class on how to fucking talk.
Yeah, they ignore it. They're like, it's a lot of shit that pop up. Black. My thing, if I've learned this, people will tell you how they feel. It's up to you on whether you want to accept it. And yeah, it's like you said, it's literally a free. That's almost like when women come out, but like, hey, I don't like to be street harassed.
Right.
They're telling you flat out, don't holler at me.
You can absolutely learn how to talk to people through social media.
But you just be like, hey, I'm gonna do this anyway. Why? Because you don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Evie says, I think white celebrities who speak out on injustices in the black community are damned if they do, damned if they don't. So when they do it in a respectful, when they do it in a respectful way, I actually appreciate it because they risk alienating their white fans. I've seen several posts where Matt McGorry of How to Get Away with Murder and Orange is the New Black fame has posted some woke ass tweets. And each time one of his white fans tells him how divisive he's being, yet he continues to do it. We need white people to speak up because sometimes black people can educate protest until we're blue in the face, but some white people will only listen to other white people. And as fucked up as that is, that's how it is sometimes, right? That's the reality of it is. Like, I see a lot of black people who feel idealistic, almost like this is a violation of my integrity to even address the idea that I need some white person to say the same shit I say. And it's like, well, then either you have no historical lens,
come on,
that you're viewing this through, or you're so worried about the unfairness of it or being able to point out the problem that you're not looking at what the solution is. Because the solution is racism is a white person's problem to solve in this country.
Come on.
Your black ass can't do shit. You know what I mean? Like, you can stop the freeway and stuff, you can make it inconvenient, but all that can really do is put the battery in the back for white people to handle their own shit, because it ain't us. Mm-mm. We ain't the problem on this.
Nope, because racism was started by us, so it's not our problem to fix.
Yeah, so I mean, at some point people are gonna have to get over the uncomfortable moment that is white people have to speak out on this shit.
Yes, they do.
You know, your favorite white person, hopefully they listening and being guided and absorbing information and learning, but they are gonna have to be the ones to do it. That's why I didn't watch any of those town halls on race this week, because there's nothing I can be educated on from those town halls. Zero.
Nope.
And the fact that we have to capitulate and compromise with the white lens to have those discussions on national TV already a huge turn off to me.
Yes, sir. Because it's not, in my opinion, it's not a real discussion.
Episode 1242 is The Sauce Turns. This is a fun episode. We talked about all kinds of stuff, spending time with Layla and whatnot.
Yes.
AO writes in this episode, Rod talked about how he don't have the time or see it as his role to be a teacher for those who don't know. I think he may have been making the point that everyone has a role and that's just not his. I'm afraid that in the resoluteness of his comment, that point may have been lost, or maybe that is not what he meant, in which case I respect his perspective and offer up another way to think about this work. The work of liberating black people and all marginalized groups. In the nonprofit philanthropy world, there's an idea that assistance can come in all forms and anyone can help as a doer, donor, or door opener. I'm glad that you have positioned yourself to provide respite and perspective through this platform. That is not my talent, and I'm not a protester, so I give and take up the mantle of educating those who are less conscious. Barbara Love talked about the role of the oppressor and the oppressed to both learn and educate. In her role on anti-oppression, she basically says that white people, those in power, knew better, they would do better. This makes me appreciative of the Tim Wises and the Peggy McIntoshes and the Jesse Delamores of the world. In such instances, they are better messengers, especially for pre-novice, fragile white people who don't see color. Whatever role we play, it's necessary to step back and engage in self-care, because fighting racism is exhausting. Listening to this podcast and being able to laugh at the foolishness is part of my self-care. I'm so glad this is here. Now, I actually responded to this comment, because this happened on like a Monday or something. I was like, hold up, I gotta at least explain what I meant, because, you know, I don't want to be taken out of context. And to sum up, I absolutely do believe what I said originally, which is that it is not any black person's role or responsibility,
nope,
to educate white people on this racism and shit.
Mm-mm.
And especially those of you guys who are being demanded of you pejoratively in your free time on Facebook and social media. Mm-hmm. Well, educate me then. Well, I think all lives matter. It is an attack.
Right.
It is harassment.
Yes.
It has, the horse has left the barn on this one. It like, no matter how quote unquote well-meaning it is disguised, I have watched it happen, and the pattern is
the same.
I look in our Facebook group. I challenge anyone to look in our Facebook group over the last 2 weeks. Every day I see multiple posts where people just basically took screenshots from white people that they thought they loved, black people that they thought loved them, vice versa. You know, like, they and where they are just upset because they're like, yo, my friend from high school just said all lives matter on my post. And then they said, well, what about black on black crime? And then they said, and I said, I am sick of seeing us abused. It is abusive. It is mentally draining. I'm not telling anyone what they can't do. Mm-mm. Keep in mind, at no point did I say don't do it. You what I'm saying is you don't have to.
No, you don't.
And in general, it ain't helping anyway. Mm-mm. Okay, some people, like people that want to be educated, typically go into spaces where they can be educated.
Yes.
The vast resources of fucking Google and every essay that has ever been written about race is out there for this person. They don't want to know. Campaign Zero got a website. Black Lives Matter got a website. They can learn if they want to learn. We see so much media that we share on our Facebook and Twitter pages and stuff where there, it is education. It is education for people who want to learn. It is spreading the word and awareness for people who want to learn. You know how many people don't even click on that shit? They see the title and they just start fighting with you in your comments?
Yes.
You don't have to give in to that. And I want you, black person listening to this, to know you are more valuable than that. Okay? You don't have to do that. A lot of these people know exactly what they're doing to you. Okay? And I see the suffering that people go through, and it ain't worth it.
No, a lot of times they make you want to fucking give up.
Yeah. It ain't worth it, man. So that's what I'm saying. And it does, like I said, this isn't saying that there's not a space for people to be educators. This isn't saying there's not a space for people to be resources. This isn't saying that if you want or you like some person or you believe in this person and you want to educate them and take the time out, this isn't discouraging you from doing any of that. What I do want you to know is absolutely without question, you ain't got to do a fucking thing. So if they say something to you and you're like, I don't feel like educating your ass on this, this is just how I feel, the fuck about my space, you're justified.
Yes,
and
you
should never be ashamed of that, because you're a human being too and you are worth it. And they run us up out of spaces when they ain't tired of us. They run us up out of spaces when we disagree and when we dissent. Okay? They run us up out of spaces constantly for the wrong shit. All right? Like, you wear a Black Lives Matter shirt to work, see what happens. Like, they run us up out of space when we're 100% right. So in your free time, you can run them up off of your Facebook page.
Come on.
Don't even feel bad about that shit.
Mm-mm, it's your time. You're not paying me to be here. This is my fucking time. And I choose not to goddamn argue with you.
Yeah. And keep in mind, that same episode I said later in the episode, yo, I do understand it. And it is unfortunate that it's left up to black protesters to fight racism. Because if not, white people just wouldn't do it. I do understand that that you have to make some, you have to show some deference to oppressors, whether, no matter what the power structure is, right? Women have to make some sort of concession to men if they want to get equality, because men are the only ones in position to truly grant them what they deserve, and to step back and be like, okay, this is the wrong thing that we're doing. So I understand it, but at the same time, don't feel no pressure that you personally, person with a 9-to-5 and kids and a life and all this other shit, trying to be happy on a daily basis, getting an All Lives Matter friend. Hey man, don't make it your life's mission to educate them. I've seen so many of those exchanges and they never end good.
Ever.
You know, the best you can hope for is they go, oh, okay, well, I guess I see what you're saying. That's the best you can hope for.
Yeah, and a lot of times that does not happen. And my whole purpose too, when I spoke on it, go to these fucking places where these people get paid and they desire to educate you.
Right.
Don't harass me.
And AO went on to talk about how that is basically their job. Like, part of what they do is doing this stuff. And they understand it's frustrating and whatnot. Let me see. Yeah, thanks for replying, Rod. This is a real tension I feel daily, especially because my work is centered in this, so it's hard to disengage from work from personal. It should not be any oppressed person's job, and the onus for understanding should be put upon oppressors. But we're talking about the difference between philosophy, what people should do, and psychology, what people do. The burden is heavy and unequally shared. It's hella frustrating for sure, but injustice is not just. There are days when I feel just like you and I'm frustrated and absolutely done with white people and I can't take it anymore. I think it's okay for you not to shoulder this burden because you're doing other work. I will engage in these conversations because of not would frustrate me more. Well, yeah, that's just you, and that's also your work. What I'm like, and this happens a lot, man. And I want to say this in a way that is understanding, but to me, what this person is doing is that thing where I'm talking about a general topic and they're personalizing it to just them, and by doing so, kind of making themselves the center of attention when it ain't about just you. Like, clearly my comments were to the 99.9% of black people that are just going about their fucking day when some white person goes "All Lives Matter" on their Facebook page. You know what I'm saying? Like, if your work is within this field, I didn't say anything about people who work in this field or that they shouldn't do it or that, you know, that's not their job. I'm saying for people who are just going about their goddamn day, it ain't your job. It really ain't. And it's okay if you want to block that person. It's okay if you want to disengage from that person, because they're not helpful to you. They're not. It is harmful. It is mentally harmful to be put on the defense of your own humanity on a daily basis. It's not okay. And I want you to know here that what I think is that it's not okay, and that you don't owe anybody shit. So that's how I feel about it, you know, and that's as clear as I can get it. If you want to go work in spaces where you do that, I understand. Mm-hmm. You know,
those people, I need it.
Right. This has never been a show where I'm like, fuck all white people, they ain't shit. This is not that show. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, keeping it within the parameters of what I said, there are some people that are abusive under the auspices of I'm trying to be educated when they're not. They're just the center of attention.
Right.
And that is not tolerable to me, and you don't have to tolerate it. This is also why I do fuck with white allies who are trying to help their own interrogate their biases, and then helping to message to the unbelievers. Drew from Interracial John had a really good post, number 98, where he talked about the active work he must take to raise his consciousness and continually work for the betterment of oppressed peoples, especially in those times when he doesn't get it or starts to make it all about himself. I really do believe it takes a collective effort, and that change will come. Change has come, but we're just not done yet. If not for that belief, that hope for a better day, most days I'd really just curl up and die, because this nation is so brutal and unloving to people who look like me, and that hurts more than the pain I feel from having the same conversation over and over and trying to convince people of my humanity. And I said, I agree with everything you said. I only want black people and other marginalized people to know they don't have to be abused by explaining their humanity to people on social media over and over for nothing.
For nothing. And that's the thing. It's one of those things and I know everybody looks at the word allies differently, but it's a lot of times, I'm kind of like Roderick. I don't really look at white people as quote unquote allies. I just look at them as caring human beings, because the thing about quote unquote allies, a lot of times when you use that phrase or words, a lot of times for a lot of black people, these quote unquote allies have left them holding the bag, left them by themselves. They walked out. They've got to the point where it became too hard and they did not care anymore. So most black people just want you to be a caring human being. Just care about my humanity. And these people that attack people on social media constantly be like, all lives matter. They do not care about your fucking humanity, and they're telling you they don't care. Believe people when they tell you the truth, and don't waste your time.
And it might be because I have the group that we see the pattern.
Right.
If I had to approve one more post, I'm gonna scream of just, hey man, so I was talking to my friend, I think, you know, maybe he gets it at the end, I don't know. I guess this is as good as it's gonna get. And I'm like, yo, I've approved this same post 100 times in the last 2 weeks, just from different people,
because it's just heartbreaking.
It's just a pattern of people abusing you, and that's, like I said, there's some people that get paid for this.
Right.
Direct them to them.
That's my whole point.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's my point. You shouldn't have
to take up the mantle to do that. That's not your burden, man. It's really fucked up to do. It's like if every time a person talked to, every time someone posted something about being gay, I was just like, well, can you explain to me why that's okay? Like, no, nigga, this is how I am. Leave me alone.
I can go Google it.
Right. Like, you don't get on here and have to explain your whiteness to people every fucking day.
No, you don't.
Like, oh, they got a sale at the Gap? Explain to me why that's okay. Like, fuck out of here. Miss Smart writes in, Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. Thank you for talking about the good cop poster boy, Tommy Norman. At first, I didn't realize it was the same guy. This is a PR stunt, and I wonder how he feels about being used this way. Yep.
Yeah, because no seem like nobody's asking him.
Look, man, that dude and his videos hugging black kids make people feel better.
Right. And that's all it is.
And I'm going to just leave it at that, because everybody else try to accuse or at least throw some like, what y'all, you know, why y'all hating on this man? Ain't nobody hating on that man. Mm-mm. Stop. Don't put words in my mouth. Ain't nobody ever said a word. Nobody even doubted his sincerity. Do not, if you can't have this discussion on the 201 level, you know, if you're still on racism 101, stay the fuck up out of my face, because it was extremely annoying. The people who tried to turn it into an indictment on him because I said they are using him as propaganda to distract from the fact that they keep killing us.
Right.
Don't get mad at me for not being distracted. I'm willing to say, yeah, that's adorable. The fuck does that have to do with you killing innocent black people for no fucking reason?
Nothing.
Because you're not going to make me have quote unquote hope, and you don't get to legislate hope to me and tell me you have to be hopeful, right? I'm not hopeful when I see people falling for the banana in the tailpipe when they throw this dude's face up. You know? Like, it's like if, the dude that was a swimmer and a rapist, you remember that dude?
Yes.
It's like if they had him, but then they also show a video of a kitten sleeping with a dog and being like, isn't this funny too, y'all? I mean, this is adorable, this video. It's like those two things don't have shit to do with each other. You know what I mean? Like, ooh, adorable kitten video. Okay, well, I guess everything made me feel better. Mm-mm. Let me know how the people on the force feel about Tommy. How the other cops treat Tommy. Let me know about that. Craddigan says, I just want to say that the Five Star Chick song started this episode. I nearly started singing along in the middle of my office. So glad these groupies are telling stories again. Kate B says, I literally screamed when the song came on. Glad I was driving in my car rather than at work or something. Dark Gable 1 says, Wendy invited Roland on her program to be educated. Respect the fact that she's willing to admit that she was wrong. I don't know if you're saying you respect the fact or telling us to respect the fact, but either way, whatever. Shouldn't have said that shit.
Right.
But good on her. Really Dark Knight says, I love this episode. I got three things. One, educating and explaining racism to people is exhausting, so I limit that in my interactions. I found that it's just another opportunity for some of them to say that black people are racist for calling out racism. Sometimes I want to tell them to go fuck themselves. Yeah, basically. Like, I almost caught myself about to do it the other night, because I was going on a message board and for one of my favorite podcasts, KATG. And I was talking to the brother, Michael of Hemda. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, he's been doing this thing where he's just been talking about he don't understand nothing with Black Lives Matter, no matter how much information he gets, no matter what people say to him, no matter how many times people explain it to him. And I just went in the message board and looked at all those people explaining shit to him. And I was just like, yo, you don't want to know. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't like that they stop traffic or whatever the fuck. And you know what? You're just going to have to not like that. You're ready to vote for a candidate with Bernie Sanders who fucking did sit-ins and shit. I've never heard anybody admonish his protesting at all or use it as a knock against him. You know, like, it's always kind of been like a positive thing from the people that fuck with him. But whether it's positive or not, I've never seen it be a negative thing. No one's ever been like, only issue I have with Bernie is that he used to do these protests back in the day where he would sit in and make it inconvenient for people that just want to get something to eat. Hey, I'm not your enemy. I'm just coming to get something to eat. Yo, real talk, and there's really no nice way to say it. If you don't care, and if you're more worried about being inconvenienced in traffic, you are the enemy. That's how it is. It's not a nice thing to say. But it's the truth. Until you give a fuck more about black people dying than you care about getting to work on time, you the enemy. Because that's what keeps things going, the status quo, is that you don't really care until you're inconvenienced. And we'll see if the tactics work or not. But I know this much. A lot of people that weren't talking about Black Lives Matter, that weren't talking about black protests, that weren't talking about black people being killed by the cops, are talking about it even if they're angry. They're talking about it now because they're like, yo, this must really be a problem. They stop traffic. Because now you're worried about yourself. Well, guess what? I worry about myself every time I leave this house. So, you know, there's one way to shut me up, you know. And the thing also is that a lot of people imply, like, well, then voting in November is the way to fix this, right? Well, just wait to the polls, just go to the polls. One, people are galvanizing the vote, people are encouraging folks to go out and vote. But here's the thing, I didn't vote for this bathroom bill in North Carolina.
Didn't get a chance.
I also didn't vote for this new law where the cops do not have to disclose their videos from dash cams and body cameras. Now, I didn't vote for that.
Not one fucking ballot.
Now, how did that change happen? How did that change happen? Because no one voted for it. It wasn't on any ballot. No one campaigned on these issues. How did this change come about? You see what I'm saying? So if change can happen in times that aren't November without anyone voting, you goddamn right, maybe you got to protest and get in some people's faces so that you can get change not in November. Some people can't wait till November. By the time we get to November, another 100 or so black people will be dead. We don't have time to wait. So somebody got to get out there and stop some traffic sometimes.
Right, and it might be your black ass. You might not have a chance to vote somebody out of office.
Right. So you have, it's privilege to even say it that way. Well, just get out there and vote. It's privilege to even think that way. You know, that's how you should be patient and have to wait for that to solve your problem. Because a lot of people are going to get out there and protest and they're going to vote. Now what? Anyway, you know, some same black people that made sure Bernie ain't winning, by the way.
Among them same black people he didn't cater to.
Two, Wendy Williams got her ass red and I'm here for it. Three, 50 Cent ain't shit. That is all. The comments for the poll, which was, how do you feel about Tommy Norman and about the stories on Tommy Norman right now? Inspiring, indifferent, or insulting? 11% said it was inspiring to see the story of this white cop that it has a great relationship with the neighborhood he's in. I love seeing the videos, for the record. Like, when I see the videos, I'm like, that's cool. I'm glad that those people like him. Insulting, 11% says insulting. And indifferent, 78% just don't give a fuck. I'll say this. I love seeing the videos. I just hate the timing. Don't show it to me right now. You know, don't wait till some fucked up shit happens and then be like, hey, but look at this guy. You know? I hope he gets all the money from Game and the people that raise money for him and stuff. I hope he does as much good as he can with it, but I wish everyone in his department looked up to him and not just the kids on the street.
Come on.
Allie says, yeah, I'm more like, man, okay, so does he want a cookie? I do follow Officer Tommy on Instagram, and while some of his posts are heartwarming, there are others that come across like a peep show for not only whites but anyone who doesn't know what it's like to live in an inner city neighborhood. In his attempt to humanize these people, sometimes he further otherizes them, because there is only so much of a person's life that a picture or a 15-second video can tell. I agree with you, Rod. I'm happy he is doing the work that he does. It seems to come from a sincere place, but I'm not ready to give him the medal of honor for doing what he is supposed to do. There's another officer I've come across on Twitter at Michael A. Woods Jr., who was a former Baltimore officer. He was fired, or maybe he quit, I'm not sure, who actively speaks out on corruption and policing. Have you heard of him? You should check him out. So yeah, there you go. That's a hero, because that motherfucker can't work there as long as he's like, yo, y'all are covering shit up and being dirty.
Right.
Dre3Dub says, I see no big deal about Officer Tommy because personally I already know officers like him. My town has resource officers, policemen who patrol schools, come to games, and kind of first responders when things break out of school. Whenever I go home, I see those guys and they are cool as hell because they remember me. But the larger issue is the Police Incorporated have an issue. Most of them are not Officer Tommy, my school resource officers, or Shaq. They don't relate to the people they police unless you interact with them outside of that badge. So they seem standoffish and act as if they are the only ones that take care of the community. Who watches the watchmen? Yep. Who police the police? All right. We also had episode 1243, Memphis Broke? Question mark. And we had six comments. So many comments this week. Let's see what we had here. AO says, when it comes to white people who are willfully ignorant and not interested in learning at all, I absolutely 100% agree. Trolls are toxic, and that is not the type of engagement I was talking about in my response to 1242. Absolutely agree with your words here. Not my job to help people who are actively looking to be harmful. As always, thanks for pushing my thinking. Hey, Ayo, that's what I'm talking about. Ayo came around.
Thank you, sweetie.
Yeah, that's all I was talking about the whole time. Right. All right? Like, people that want to be educated find a way. I'll tell you right. that much.
And you can tell, and they're sincere in their interaction with you and going back and forth with you yeah. versus the people that are just strictly trolls.
Send them a link, they go somewhere. They be like, okay, cool, I'll be back, you know? Like,
right, or they'll come back and be like, you know what? What you said make a difference. Or yeah. I read the link, or I educate. Like they will come back around if they're willing to, but the people that are constantly belligerent and always have these pinpoint excuses that are very generic,
Katrina Pavella writes in, thank you for your discussion regarding which black lives are worthy of remembrance. I just felt moved to comment. The problem you hit upon resonates with me, as I find internet culture to be as frustrating as it is hilarious and powerful. We now seem to lack the ability to find grace for people and are too quick to summarily dismiss folks if they are not in complete alignment with our beliefs, politics, etc. AKA fuck you forever. Funnily, we always wait for the grace for ourselves when we fuck up.
Come on.
Or are attacked. We remember a person's humanity when it is ours.
Right, but we don't extend that empathy and sympathy out to other people.
Yeah, that was one thing that was interesting about that dude who was like, you know, Sandra Bland's a homophobe and I'll never say her name and fuck her. And then he called her a bitch. And then people called him out and he right. was able to say like, yo, I shouldn't have let that happen. I apologize. I'm sorry about that, blah, blah. And I thought, yeah, the sad shame is Sandra Bland never got a chance to apologize and to be a better person and to be called out.
And evolve and grow.
Yeah, like to me, I wish she was alive to at least have the chance to reconcile with that. Maybe she would have understood that she was wrong, but we'll never know.
Right.
As you said, finding fault, pointing to problems is easy. Too many people think that they are showing critical thinking when they can do that. From opinions to entertainment to politics, this kind of practice is evident all over the place. Maybe it's our ability to Google everything we ever wanted to know and every opinion on that thing. I don't know. I think finding a solution to the problems we see is definitely a great thing, but solutions don't come easy or quick. Yeah, it's a lot easier to describe a problem in depth than it is to say, and this is how you solve it. Because a lot of times, what I realize when I talk about these issues is there's no easy or quick, or sometimes there's just no answer.
Right.
And I think that scares people to get to the conclusion, so they revel in the problem more than they revel in the fact that there's not an answer that's going to come and there's not going to be a right way to get it done. And I think that scares people because they don't want to think about that shit, which is essentially, it's depressing, you know what I mean? Nobody want to feel that depressing wave of like, yo, this shit has been fucked up my whole life and before my life and generations before that, and it's not going to get fixed by the time I die.
Nope.
So what do we do as we work towards that? Because speaking for myself, the fuck you forever attitude is burdensome and takes too much investment that I'd rather be putting towards creating or progressing. Maybe we should think more about reconciliation along the way, the ability to hold the good and the bad and the ugly and the dynamic tension, or maybe just stop thinking in such binary terms when it comes to people. Again, I'm searching. By the way, I'm saying this as a black queer woman. Hey man, I don't have any easy answer. Cause like, one of the things I say, like, think about Whoopi Goldberg. Sometimes she says shit that I'm just like, I can't believe you think that.
Right.
And then sometimes she says shit where I'm just like, that is so on point. Mm-hmm. D.L. Hughley. Sometimes he'll say shit about black women that I found like inflammatory, disgusting, and just so much hate. Like, I can't believe yes. a person would go on the radio and be proud of themselves to say that shit. And you know, sometimes he's apologized, sometimes he hasn't, all this stuff, but then he'll go on Fox News or something and speak so eloquently and whatnot. People are complex.
Right, we're very, very complex. And the thing about it, in the society of fuck you forever, you don't allow people to grow, people to change, people to evolve, people to get educated. That's not allowed. It's like, people take a snapshot and that's you for the rest of your life, and you're like, but I don't even think the way I thought when I was 22. And people go, nah, fuck you. And you're like, okay, this makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Flea says, is that bull semen? Sniff, sniff, sniff. It is. Good gracious, my ribs, my cheeks. Rod, you will be the death of me. So glad I discovered this podcast. Karen, hey sweetie, what's happening?
Hey sweetie.
Then they put, what's happening here? LOL.
Yes.
Air hugs. I appreciate all that you both do with the podcast. You're a much needed voice in this space. Mark says, once again, Rod challenges people on the limits to their activism. When you ask whether people would support the former clueless actress and currently clueless human, if she were inappropriately killed by the police, it really caused me to think about it. Ultimately, you and Karen made valid points. I would be outraged by the action, even if it happened to her. Speaking of challenge, what kind of research was Bernie Sanders getting to think black people were so loyal to Hillary? All those times he showed up on the nightly show, did he even watch? Was he right? Niggas was cheering him on like he was like the kid that never wins in basketball, but he was trying to hit a shot. Like, and it was senior night. Everybody was like, come on, Bernie.
We know you can do it. Pull it now.
Right. Was he too scared to be in a room with too much melanin or something? It reminds me of how television and movie executives had to be reminded every 10 years or so that black people watch a lot of TV and go to a lot of movies. All kinds of research is available, but they insist on thinking that black people just sit around and watch Judge Mathis and only eat at Popeyes and pay for with their rush cars when they work.
Right.
when they work. AJ the engineer says, so if I like PlayStation and get killed by the cops, but would an Xbox supporter have a valid reason to not post anything about me? That's how petty I see this going, if people begin to pick and choose who they support based on their own beliefs. Right. Yes, Alton Sterling didn't have the best record, but none of us knew that when we first saw the gas station video. Sandra Bland has some bad thoughts on gay people, but I don't think that gives any validity to that asshole cop yanking her out of the car. Mm-mm. I think it'll lower the impact of Black Lives Matter if we pick and choose who to mourn after these killings.
I agree. People can say what they want to about that, but I 100% agree. Do all lives matter or they don't?
Yeah, you mean all black lives.
All black lives matter or they don't. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah, I don't know how you solve it. I don't know what to say, because it ain't simple for me. Like, I feel like in order for there to be a cause, simplicity is needed when it comes to these hashtags and shit, but it clearly is not what everybody else is at. So once I see that, I feel like I would be lying to just be like, well, y'all just get over it. Apparently people ain't been using the hashtags that way the entire time. I just got hip to game 72 hours ago.
Right. That, and also, just because you say Black Lives Matter, you're not saying that they didn't make errors, didn't make mistakes, didn't have fun. Like, you're not saying that. Mm-hmm. And it does not excuse them for the fucked up shit that they did. I think a lot of people go, well, just because you said, you're excusing it. No. I'm saying the way they died was fucked up. How they lived was a whole nother thing. But the way that this person lost their life unjustly is the problem.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's how I use my Twitter and my social media and when we talk about it on the show.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I understand if you know, like I said, I understand, because I've seen people say like that were talking bad about this guy, that when I was like, well, what about if it was Stacey Dash? I'm not fucking marching for Stacey Dash. Fuck her. Oh, well then, yeah, well then it's the same principle. This person not, you can't call this person wrong if you believe some similar shit.
Come on.
You can't. So if most of y'all people really do believe like certain black lives, like that you don't fuck with, because of their opinions,
are less valuable.
Yeah. Then yes, that does apply, and you can't deny that it's a thing.
Right.
I won't deny that it's a thing. If Alton Sterling is a rapist that had sex with a 14-year-old when he was 20, some people might have an issue with that.
Yes.
Some people might want to talk about that.
Right.
And you can't silence them and shut them down on mm-hmm. some like, well, you trying to distract and be divisive. No. Some people are capable of holding two thoughts in their head at the same time. Now,
right.
The thing for me is I'm capable of saying, yeah, that was fucked up and the cops shouldn't have killed him. But at the same time, some people aren't.
Right.
And you just gotta deal with that, man. Some people ain't never gonna come around, and mm-hmm. that's what it is. The poll was, would you promote the name of a black person who was killed by police if you hated the things they said when they were alive? Yes, no, or I don't use hashtags already. 44% of people don't even use the hashtags, period. So, you know, maybe they're not on social media, maybe they just don't like that, like say their name, blah blah. 15% said no, I would not promote the name of some person that, you know, got killed
and I didn't agree with what they did when they were alive. And 41% said yes. So basically, if you just take the people that don't ever use hashtags, but take the people who do use hashtags, there's basically about 26% of people that say, I don't hashtag people I don't fuck with, period. Dead or alive. Well, dead, really. You can only be dead. Allie says, this one is weird for me. On one, I think maybe I could promote a hashtag for Stacey Dash if she was killed by police, because I could see how and why she was internalizing white supremacy to make her say the ignorant things she says. I don't agree with what she says, and like you all pointed out on the show, maybe she can change. Keep my fingers crossed. But then when I think about Bill Cosby, I absolutely could not promote him if he were unlawfully killed by the police. It doesn't mean that I think the police should be allowed to get away with killing him. I would still want him and his family to have justice, and I would want those police officers tried and put in prison. But in no way would I personally feel right about using my online space and platform, no matter how small it may be, to sympathize with a man who caused so many women so much harm. There you go. Can somebody be down with the movement but not down with the person being upheld at the moment? I think the person who was bashing Sandra Bland messed up because they went out of their way to muck up her name when that's not even the point. If promoting Bland was a personal conflict, they could have very well said nothing. But then again, I do think about the way the mainstream has basically alienated the LGBTQ community from the movement. And as a straight black woman, I can admit that I don't know what that feels like. So hey, maybe they were in the right for speaking out against Sandra Bland. I don't know. I guess there's no simple answer here. Yeah, ain't no simple answer, dog.
Oh no, it's not.
Because I mean, you did, like you just said yourself, man, you couldn't do it for Bill Cosby. You couldn't see yourself doing it. I could see somebody feeling that way about Sandra Bland, you know, like, yo, the shit you said was horrible. And as far as I'm concerned, I only do this shit for people that I respect and love when they were alive and that loved me back and stuff. And so I won't do it for you. That being said, I don't know where the line is, because
everybody line is
Freddie good. Gray could have been calling people all kinds of names. We just ain't know. Right. You know, I don't know. I don't know, but shit, that's something to think about, right? If it was Bill Cosby, would y'all be using Bill Cosby's, would y'all be, hey, say his name? I don't think a lot of y'all would. Amani says, for me, this is no different than police or media telling us the next black person who was murdered by police was no angel and dragging their name through the mud. I'm not telling other people what to do or how to handle it, but I can't think of any situation where a white person was extrajudiciously killed by the state that I wouldn't feel like a hypocrite if I didn't demand justice and due process. That doesn't mean I'm holding them up or praising their name, but I can't let the system off the hook when the person is a piece of shit. Yeah. EVE says, if it was an outspoken coon like Charles Barkley or Stacey Dash, I'd be like Mariah Carey. I don't know them, because number one, if the cops killed them, according to that logic, they deserved it, right? Is that wrong? Probably. But my petty is too strong, and I'm a hard person. Yeah, I appreciate you being honest about it.
True.
All right, and let's see, 12:44. In white people news, we had Brandon and Justin on of Medium Popcorn. Mm-hmm. We are two niggas spoiling movies.
Spoiling in your face.
Rosalie says, pronounced just like the underground character. Get it? Oh, Rosalie. Get it, Rob? That's their whole name on the website. Rosalie, pronounced just like the... it's Rosalie. Rosalie, pronounced just like the character on Underground. Get it, Rob? As a whole name. Where's the neither button for today's poll? I know, right? I voted for, oh yeah, the poll was who you with, Katy Perry or Taylor Swift. Adrian says, I know, right? I voted for Katy just because I'll never trust Taylor Swift with her crafted cracker ass.
Oh.
And Big Daddy 2 says, fuck Charles Barkley. Here's a modern day Sam Jackson on Django. When he says the black people I know die from other black people, he means Racy Trash and Don Lemon Grab, because they are the only black people who ride with him. All he needs to add was Massa being so good to us. You know you fucking up when you sound like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. Oh, Massa Frodo is a wise and good master. He only killed Goblin because goblins kill each other. That was my Gollum.
Mark says, thank you for bringing in the medium popcorn guys. My podcast list has been getting darker and darker since discovering TBGWT.
It's not darker, baby.
And I'm great with that. Meanwhile, though, I can't decide whether Barkley's problem is that he's been white people's favorite analyst for way too long, or it's because he's older and doesn't realize that the respectable Negro playbook is no longer required and never fully worked, if we are being honest. Not every black person with status appears on Capital One ads and Jimmy Fallon sketches Chuck. Hey, white people love some Charles Barkley, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember, he was going to run as a Republican when he was going to run for office. EVE says, Charles Barkley has been Stacey Dashing before Stacey needed a check, so it comes as no surprise that he'd make those bullshit comments. That's why he's never won a ring, because the universe hates him, and so do I. Hashtag petty on fleek.
Mm.
Her petty week has been, his petty powers have been super saiyaning. AJ the engineer says, thanks for continually letting us know about the other good shows out here in podcast land. After this show, I subscribed to start listening to Medium Popcorn's Star Wars episode with Chris Lambert, and was laughing out loud at how much they love those white starlets. Doesn't he? Chris Lambert. It's a shame. Who you with, Taylor Swift or Katy Perry, was the poll. 91% of y'all voted for Katy Perry, and 9% of y'all voted for Taylor Swift. Mark says, all it takes is for someone to be in the spotlight for too long before people start tearing down the people they built up. Oh well, bye Tay Tay. EVE says, I have hated Taylor Swift for a long time. I believe I even wrote in about her once to say how much I disliked her. I haven't liked her since the Kanye incident. I'm not really that big a fan of Kanye. I think he ripped the mic out of her hand. When he ripped the mic out of her hand was uncool, but how she seemed to milk the hell out of it ever since just kind of struck a nerve with me. There's something extremely funny about her, like that fake shock when she wins an award and how she cheers for her friends when they win awards like she's happy for them. That squad bullshit. And that weird dancing of hers, a lot of it also has to do with how she's held up as the perfect feminist, and she has this women who don't help each other aren't real feminist mentality. Fuck her fake ass phony. Team Katie all the way. She's another one who could take a long walk off a short pier. All right. Stumbled onto something with this white people news. Didn't know you guys felt so passionately.
I know, we might have to bring y'all more.
I know, about the folks. All right, let's get into
two comments on the poll.
Those were the comments on the poll, wasn't it? Didn't I just read the comments on the poll?
Oh, the two comments on the poll. Like, I know you had it open, but did you go into the poll itself?
Yeah, that was exactly what I just read. The comments on the poll.
Okay. I wanted to be sure.
Two people left comments, and those are the two comments I just read.
Okay, no problem. I wanted to be sure because I seen it. I didn't know if you clicked in. My bad.
Mm-hmm. Back there, backseat podcasting. Look at you.
Oh, sorry.
It's all good. We had a couple of voicemails. Let me play those for the folk.
Hey, what's up, Rod and Karen? This is Jay Spool. As always, love the show. I just found out that you can call the show from the show notes on RSS Radio. So I don't have to memorize the number. And I can always leave a voicemail. So I was listening to the Presidential Clippers episode with Ray Sonny and Alex and loved it. But you guys were talking about Obama and his barber. Fun little fact, you know, Walker and Company, the people that do Bevel, they have a pair of clippers that they're that they came out with that's slowly, you know, rolling out, and they're fulfilling pre-orders. But President Obama's barber actually uses those clippers. So just in case his barber situation couldn't get any blacker, he is using black-owned and black-created clippers. And for the people listening to this voicemail, if you haven't seen the promos for the Walker & Company clippers, they look pretty amazing. They are expensive, but from everything I've read about them, they are worth the money. So I'm definitely going to check them out once they go live totally, once the pre-orders are fulfilled. But, yeah, I just wanted to drop that tidbit on you guys. Anyway, love the show. Can't wait till tomorrow's episode. I'm kind of mad that I listened to the Sunday episode on Sunday, because now I got to find out what I'm going to do at work today on Monday. But Anyway, keep up the good work and love you guys. Peace.
All right.
Peace.
Thank you. And yeah, we did know that. Everybody told us throughout the week, but we appreciate you telling us again. Can't ever hear that enough.
Thank you.
Last voicemail.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte. I am here in Oakland, California. It is about 6:40 in the morning because this is the only time that I have to myself until about 4 o'clock when my little one goes to sleep. I'm calling just to say that I really love you guys a whole lot. From the moment that I listened to you guys, about a year and a half ago, Christmas 2014, just till now, and just the impact that you guys have had on my mental health and my actual physical being. I went through an extremely rough time in my life where I was basically homeless, and I posted a plea to everyone on my personal Facebook. Rod saw that, took it upon himself to put that information, of course, asked me very politely if it was all right, and I said yes, and I was actually able to have a home and have some peace of mind because of Rod and Karen, and I just want to really thank you for that. I can't find the words to express the importance that you all have in my life, my entire everything is just here for Queen Karen and Rodimus Prime, and I'll fight somebody in the streets for y'all. But anyway, I am just enjoying the latest podcast, and I hope this voicemail isn't too long, and I hope I can talk to you again, and Black Lives Matter. Love y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
And no, you do not have to fight in the street for us, okay? We are going to try to keep very peaceful. We are more like peacetime army people, okay? We prefer diplomacy, okay? No fighting in the streets, everyone. But yeah, thank you. And I didn't mind sharing that information at all. You know, try to use our audience to do positive things. I know there's only so much and that people can do, and I don't want to make people like exhausted, and I'm not trying to turn our Facebook group into like the charity of the day type thing, because I'm sure that'll bum a lot of people out. But in general, you know, sometimes people go through some really hard times, or they go through like crisis and stuff, and you know, I don't mind, you know, at least spreading the word that way. And I think people help where they can, man, you know, like we fans and friends and shit, but you know, it's also kind of family. So
true.
All right, now we will probably have to extend this session to a new one so we can get through the emails.
Okay.
But you just let me know when it gets to 120 and I'll switch over, okay?
Okay.
So fans, we will probably start a new session in a second, but I'm gonna try to read as much as I can. Rhea writes in for the feedback show. When you mentioned that you would be doing a spoiler movie review on The Secret Life of Pets with your niece, I was excited to listen. I took my son and a few family members to see it last weekend. We really enjoyed it also. After hearing the show, I had to write in to tell you guys how much I loved hearing your niece. What a smart, funny, quick-witted girl she is. A great sense of humor must run in the Morrow bloodline.
Listen. She got that from her grandpa.
She is so funny, y'all. Like, real talk.
Yeah, she is hilarious.
I'm not just saying that because she my kin.
No, she is like a funny little girl. And I think she's been funny for a very, very long time. Ever since she was small, she would just say jokes and everybody would crack up laughing. And when she was younger, she didn't have the concept of joke and comedy instruction and things like that. So she would bust out crying that we was laughing at her. But now, since she understands the concept of jokes, she can craft her own jokes. She's been on fire.
Yeah, comedy is a, you know, I think a form of intelligence, you know, because you have to be creative and stuff. She's very creative and very smart. And we'll have conversations and we joke back and forth. And, you know, we watch Teen Titans. Her favorite character is Raven. And she really does fit. She's Raven. Like, her attitude is just like Raven, sarcastic, smart, witty, you know, always
reading.
Yeah, always got something to say, man. You know, that, so yeah, it's also enjoyable to be around her as well, because I share that same kind of sense of humor. Her mother's funny like that as well, you know, so I know she gets a lot of that from her mom and my dad and my brother. So like, you know, she's surrounded by a bunch of funny people. She's damn near a comedian at this point, because sometimes I'll say something funny to her and instead of laughing, she'll say, "That's funny," which, if you guys know anything about comedians, comedians, even when they're like, "Oh, that's really good," like, I, instead of a spontaneous laugh, you normally get, "That's funny."
True.
As it relates to social media and current events, I've decided to take a break. I just don't have the ability or desire to deal with the Facebook foolishness right now. I started dancing in my seat when I heard the intro to Five Star Chick on Monday's show. Then my next thought was, oh good, we get to hear hating ass Terrell Jones thoughts on the matter. Last thing I got in my daughter's car recently, and guess whose voices I heard? Yep, Rob and Lady Karen J. I'm out here doing the Lord's work, building up y'all's numbers. But seriously though, thank you for putting in work to keep me entertained while I work on these TPS reports. Signed, the official grandmother of the show, Rhea. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
Yeah, it's funny. Someone on Twitter also told me that, I'm about to do the new session, but someone on Twitter told me, like, my 8-year-old son loves y'all. I was like, what?
What?
Should he be listening to this?
I know, he still need Applejacks. What's happening here?
All right, I feel like this is not okay. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I'm gonna create a new session, invite everybody over. Take a second, guys. See here. You know, and don't forget, you are still listening to the
Quiet Storm.
Been watching you, baby.
Yes! Body roll, body roll, hey.
I've been watching you for so very long, trying to get my courage up to be so strong. I really want to meet you, but I'm kind of scared, 'cause you're kind of late there with so much class.
Better stick it in your pajamas.
Get my thoughts together for the very next day. But when I see your face, I forget what to say. Your eyes and hair, such a beautiful tone. The way you walk, it really turns me on.
Ooh, it really turns me on.
Come on, come on, come on. Come and talk.
I really want to meet. This one's dedicated to Dion.
Right.
Yes! To Keisha.
This goes out to Keisha. Marcus says he'll be out of prison soon. And when it is, it's on. Because he wants to come and talk to you.
Yes! He want to know your name and maybe your friends too.
Episode 1243, Memphis Broke. Tonya writes in, Dear Rod and Karen, thank you for taking time to record your podcast. You're truly a lifesaver. I'm always traveling on the road due to my job, and therefore I'm always in my car, my second home. Thank goodness I could tune in and listen to your podcast. On another note, as Rod says, I have to respond to the very insensitive, ignorant, and arrogant comments of Martha Stewart. I know you guys said to ignore ignorant comments, but I just couldn't let this go. I received my BA and MA from a private college and private university upon graduating. I accrued nearly 200. Wait a minute. For the record, I said ignore the ignorant comments of your friends and people that harass you on social media. We wouldn't have a show if we ignored ignorant comments. What the fuck would we be doing for a week? Can you imagine? That show would be boring as fuck. I read it on the show because it was ignorant. I ain't ignoring it. Upon graduating, I accrued nearly $200,000 in student loan debt after receiving my BA and MA from a private college and private university. After a few years, I consolidated my federal loans, which made my life somewhat easier. However, I still have a private loan, and that offers no flexible loan repayment plans, i.e. income-based, pay-as-you-earn, income-contingent plans. Regarding my monthly bills, I pay about $600 a month on my student loans.
God damn, baby!
Not to mention my car note, car insurance, cable bill, cell phone bill, food, gas, and of course, church offerings. Mm, yes.
the Lord needs his 10. My bill is high. My bills are high, and thankfully I don't have to pay rent. Although I did one time, my mom looked at me like I lost my mind. However, I do contribute to other household bills. Absolutely, yes. I reside with my parents. I'm quite thankful to have parents who are very willing to continue to open their home to me. There's no way I would be able to survive renting an apartment at this time in my life unless I had a roommate, which I do not want. I experienced roommates in college, and I'm not looking back.
I don't blame you, baby.
My mom said I could live with her forever and if needed. Now, of course, eventually my salary will grow, and as I continue to grow within my chosen career field, and I'll be able to afford a place of my own. I had to put in my dues, just like my fellow colleagues who have been in the field for 10 plus years and now have a comfortable salary. Although I had to share a little background info so you have a better understanding of where I'm coming from. Now, getting back to the point, this statement is from Martha Stewart and anyone else who thinks recent college graduates, millennials, are too lazy to move out of their parents' house and get a good job. Right. Please do not tell me that I'm lazy and I don't have the initiative to work. That remark was so offensive and degrading for her to say. Right. Doesn't she know that college grads want a place of their own to call home? Doesn't she know most college grads have an extensive and overwhelming amount of student loan debt? Doesn't she know that a recent college grad who enters the workplace, hopefully in their chosen career field, will start at base salary? Doesn't she know a recent college grad who may have a master's degree can possibly be unemployed for a period of time due to a lack of work experience?
Right.
Again, please don't tell me that I'm lazy. I didn't spend 6.5 years in college to be called lazy. It takes time to build a stable and strong career, and I know I'm doing my very best to make sure that happens. I have life goals, a career goals. I have a plan. I don't need anyone critiquing or criticizing my college degrees, my career field, or whom I live with. Thank you for reading my response, and thank you for providing an outlet that allows people to voice their concerns and opinions. Have a beautiful and blessed day. P.S. I can't wait until The Walking Dead returns and hear your recap show.
You sure wasn't no hand clappy emojis in that?
I feel like it was all like they were just you just assume like they are in there. You feel them in yourself. I feel like everyone listening was clapping the whole time.
Oh yeah. And baby, thank you for the book.
What book?
She sent that comic book.
No, that's not that. This is Tanya W. Sent us a comic book.
Oh yes, she did.
Right. And my man Hustle sent us some mumbo sauce.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
and sweetie. We got some Trio tea, which you've been drinking, I think, and haven't even talked about.
It's good. It's very and it smells wonderful.
All right, we'll talk about it tomorrow in depth on the show, but they sent us some Trio tea, and Karen been drinking it up and ain't even said a word, y'all.
I just been
drinking the tea. The people was like, you know, if you like the tea, maybe you can mention on the show.
I like the tea.
Episode drinking y'all tea.
Sipping it in the background.
I'll say this, man, for Martha Stewart. The millennials, she know, probably her kids and maybe they are lazy because they her kids. I don't know. What does she know? You know what I mean? People do that shit through the lens of age. They judge the current generation as worse than them. But man, right. I remember when I was in college, checking the mail was a day. You know what I mean? I was
all like, day event.
I gotta go check the mail. The post office closes at 4.
I gotta walk a half a block.
I gotta go to class now. You know
it's all around the other side of campus.
Right? Ugh. Why summer break gotta be so short? Like we all come from the same shit.
Right.
And it's not fair somebody call you lazy. And it's funny because you one of these advice people like her probably would have said that people living with their parents and saving money was smart. You know?
Correct.
Pay your loans back and shit. Rob writes in, the song is back. Just glad to hear the guest race song the way it was intended. With the butter and bum, that makes the work day better. Y'all keep doing what you do. Karen, that's all you.
You're welcome.
So there you go. Brandon says, feedback. Hey Rod and Karen, B Sands here. Just wanted to share some general feedback about the show. When you recently traveled to AwesomeCon, Rod, you mentioned the positive impact that the show has had on so many people and how much is needed. You couldn't have been more accurate, and I want to say thank you for all the amazing work you both do. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Last year was probably the most difficult year of my life, losing my grandfather and brother within 6 months of each other. Wow. Aww, sorry to hear that.
Me too.
But it was through this podcast and countless others I found through this show that I was able to find positive moments on some of my toughest days. I found new interest in comics that I never knew about. Shout out to the Nerd Off. Hey. Keep up on sports and ratchetness through Ballsy Sports. And I just saw The Secret Life of Pets, sport movie reviews, and many, many more things because of the show. You both feel like family, even though we've never met. LOL is definitely an NC thing. Again, thank you for all you do. Keep bringing quality content like I know you will, and I'll be here to laugh, listen to certainly learn. Love you guys. Be Sans. Rest in peace, CJ and JL. Rest in peace, man. And then last email, Joe writes in, Joe in California, no spoilers, Leslie Jones' performance in Ghostbusters. Hi, Rod and Karen. Love your show. Been listening for over a year now. I just wanted to give Rod some major credit for calling it right about the reception of Jones by critics. I've read and watched a few reviews of Ghostbusters, and pretty much everyone is saying Leslie is the best thing in the film. I saw the film myself, and I think Jones without a doubt kept this film from being yet another failed reboot. Despite not being a scientist, she is portrayed intelligent, capable, and important to the team. But most of all, she is hilarious. And for the haters who don't like her type of blackness, there isn't any moment one can honestly label cooning or playing up for a white audience. Right. I didn't love the film, but it's totally fun, a fun and watchable movie. If you two end up seeing the film, please share what you thought. I especially want to hear what Karen thinks about the film, because I love her unique perspective. Joe in California. Well, we did share what we thought on the premium side, you know, on that board movie review. Yeah. We definitely talked about what we thought about the film, yeah, but
we seen it the day before it quote unquote officially came out.
Yeah, on Thursday, but I mean, we both gave it I think I gave it a 4 and you gave it a 5, right?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, so I mean, and we talked about it in depth on the Nerd Off with me, Chris, and Sterling. I don't want to offend anybody. I really don't. But a lot of people's problems with Leslie Jones is problems they have with blackness and anti-blackness within themselves.
Come on.
And it ain't even all that deep for me. Like, real talk.
It ain't got nothing to do with her.
People talk a good game about wanting inclusion and wanting every kind of black woman to be celebrated as beautiful and talented and all that shit. But when the push came down to shove, they didn't see any value in her or her character as long as she wasn't living up to those white standards of not just beauty, but also in the movie of having a certain level of education as far as being a scientist or speaking a certain way or any of this shit. And as far as I'm concerned, I think those people were just absolutely wrong. You know, there's nothing to be concerned about with her role in the movie. I still stand behind what I said, which is I wish that universe, that movie universe, I don't understand why it's always got to be one of one thing. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we got one of them's gay, one of them's black, one of them, like, I don't understand why it couldn't, you know, be more black people in the universe, even if they're not Ghostbusters. You know, they don't have a black friend, they don't have a, you know, no black love interest, no, you know, just the one black person in all of New York that joined the team. But, and this isn't a knock on the movie, which we both thoroughly enjoyed, but it's just, to me, that's where the problem lies when it comes to blackness and representation. It's not that something's wrong with Leslie Jones, because ultimately what a lot of those people are saying is that Leslie Jones has a limitation to what she should be quote unquote allowed to do in Hollywood, because after she gets to a certain level, they don't want to see her represented. But what people aren't really willing to understand and give deference to when they start talking that way, Leslie Jones isn't just a check mark on your fucking sheet of what the latest big budget thing you hate is, okay? A lot of nerd culture is about hate and disliking things and breaking things down and telling you why it's not good and why it doesn't work. What I do know is Leslie Jones is a 48-year-old woman that has fought her way to the spot, and she deserves it, okay? And if you were cool with her in Top 5, ain't no fucking reason you shouldn't be cool with her in this movie. I'm sorry.
Come on.
Because at that point, what you're really saying is, well, now white people are going to see this. So? You know, white people listening to the show. So? Mm-hmm. I'm still going to be me every day. I'm not going to come on here and code switch and change up because of that. Like, you owe, get that up out of you, man. You don't owe anybody anything. You know, you be yourself. Celebrate yourself. And when I see Leslie Jones, I see a tall, dark, black woman with natural hair that people, you know, have given a hard time, that is 48 years old, that makes me laugh so much, that loves herself so much. I don't know how anybody can't love her. Real talk, like, something might be wrong with you. You know, like, she's funny as fuck to me. And you know, funny is subjective, but one thing that I think isn't subjective is saying whether or not she can be in a movie. Like, I don't know, man. It's been real bad listening to certain people talk about it. I'll just put it that way. Like I said, I've left certain groups and stuff in nerddom because of that. You know, like, where I was just like, I don't want to be involved in a group that sees Leslie Jones and gets ashamed or embarrassed or feels like she shouldn't be in this movie, or the movie is going to be problematic because she got the role. Because in my heart of hearts, if they would have cast a different looking black woman in it, or a different type of black woman, a lot of people that claim to have an issue wouldn't have had as much an issue.
Right.
You know, and also in my heart of hearts, I believe what Leslie said, which is that if she would have got the role as a scientist, because I don't want to spoil anything for the movie, but she adds a lot of value. She's indispensable to the team, and it's not just because she's and she's not a scientist, but they couldn't have saved the city without her. Right. Here's the thing, though. I think if she would have been put in there as a scientist, she's right. A lot of people would have had a problem with the type of scientist she would have been.
Of course.
Why she gotta talk like that? She's a scientist, but she don't talk like the white people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then to leave on a happier note, cause, Karen, did you want to add anything to that? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to. Okay. To leave on kind of a happier note, we did put out a spoiled movie review, 93, The Secret Life of Pets, with our kid correspondents, Layla,
mm-hmm.
my niece, our niece.
It was fun.
We got two comments. J Dab says, I've been premium for almost 3 years, and this is one of my favorite episodes of We All Know Why, Layla. She was adorable, informative, and funny. She's pointing out Easter eggs from previous movies, 10-year-old Jeremy's review. You remember when that little dog and the big dog was fighting? Yeah, that was funny. Then sit there quiet for 20 more minutes. Oh, yeah. Layla was dropping the bomb, the knowledge bombs on us. We was like, hold up, what now? When you see that? It was in the back. Okay, well, she didn't. You know?
I didn't know.
Oh, y'all did excellent work as well, but we all know the star of this review, A. Yeah. I bow to the star power of Layla. Okay?
Yeah, because after we finished, she said, what, is they going to say anything about me?
Right. I said, I will let you know what the people say about you, because they definitely going to love you. And Natasha P says, come through with the Easter eggs, Layla. Can't wait for more reviews. Your extra special kids correspondent. Well, thank you. And I think next up, we probably have to see the BFG.
Yeah.
So we can review that with her. So that's the plan, man. She loved being on the show, and we love having her on the show, man. It was so good to be able to spend that day with her. Oh, you know. Yeah.
That day was so much fun. And the thing is about BFG, she's read the book years ago, because like I said, the girl has probably read, what she said, do it 200 books. Like, she
listen,
reads.
Layla be reading.
Like she be reading. She reading to the point I had to get her grandma and grandpa. I'd be like, hey, do y'all let her read on her tablet? Her grandma was like, no. I was like, please let her read on her tablet. Y'all will save so much money. So I didn't know this, but at the public library now.
Well, the tablet thing is a little harder to control though, Karen.
That's true.
Sometimes stuff is free, but you might not want your kid reading that stuff. The library might think it's available to everybody, but you know, like, you still had to control what kids.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the best filter is I can buy you a book.
That's true.
And until you're able to buy your own books, or until you're able to get to an age where I feel like you can discern between, you know, I don't want food stamp bitches on Layla's tablet.
You can get that from the library. What's happening here?
It's on Kindle. Like that,
it's not,
you know,
the public library.
You don't know that it's not at the public library. Okay,
that's true. My,
you're not,
I'm
about
sorry.
To sit up here and slander my black literature. Okay, we got to go. Okay, this is just. I tried to
I'm
make
being
this
problematic.
Work.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
But
I'm
yeah,
sorry to all the ghetto writers out there. Your stuff.
Ghetto.
Is
oh,
too.
Just oh god. Just let's get out of here. You make it even worse. Thank you for all your feedback, everybody. We'll be back in the morning or afternoon tomorrow. I don't know. We had a long day today.
Oh, we did. So. We'll talk about our day today tomorrow.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Well, shit, it is tomorrow. It's 12:03 in the motherfucking Eastern time.
That's completely up to you. I didn't know.
I'm not talking about it right now.
Oh, okay.
This is the end of the show, Karen. We'll talk to y'all later today. Jesus Christ. I got to edit this. We'll talk to y'all soon. Until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.